Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are very happy to acknowledge your great presence. As Brother Branham said, just think the same pillar of fire, indicating you, O God, in that pillar of fire. Brought the word to Paul now here, revealing that same word, actually correcting the errors, restoring it, bringing it back to where it is in the beginning, which was pure and faultless, with the proper understanding by revelation. We know we have that today, as Brother Branham said, that which is perfect has come. And what is perfect but God, and who is God but the Word, and by His grace we have the perfect revelation of your Word and of yourself, you being that Word brought into full manifestation, proving what your thoughts and intents were. And we're grateful for that, Lord, and may we apprehend it. Seeing we have ears to hear, our attention having been caught by what you did, your Brother Branham said, like a suitor wooing a bride, we might turn to you, Lord. We turn to you this morning and desire, Lord, from our hearts for you to know and we to know that we are one, even as it was said in this hour it should be. Help us in our meditations, and then from our meditation go to a walk of complete faith and trust and love in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we've dealt at length with the understanding of the what's called the doctrine of the parousia, which is simply a Greek word that means His presence. And anybody that knows anything about Brother Branham in this end time knows that the one that addressed himself to the Apostle Paul is the same one that addressed himself to William Branham, is the same one that addressed himself to Moses. And, of course, Brother Branham said that what God told him and spoke through him was that John the Baptist, the person foreran the first coming of Christ, so his message, not William Branham in person, although it takes a person, all right, but the message is the forerunner of the second coming of Christ, which means before there can be a rapture, there must be this message which is brought to us. And of course, there's only one message, and that's the message of Paul, as Paul brought it out in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 7 to 10 in particular. Now, for many years, the question was asked, what is the message? And there always was an answer with many ramifications. And the simplistic answer also has ramifications, but the answer is, Brother Branham himself said, my ministry. And we know the word ministry can go in various directions, such as over here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it absolutely directs you. And it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, just hold that in mind, gift to Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended, the same also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That tells you the one that went down, went up, and came back again is the Holy Spirit. So, Brother Branham said that he left the body, turned back to a pillar of fire, and came down to Pentecost, then came down to the Apostle Paul. Now, these are things that people read, goes right over their heads, and, you know, they just sort of read it and say, well, I believe it. Then what do they believe? Well, I believe what I'm reading in the sense that, hey, I know what I'm reading. But what do you believe? To believe means to understand. Now, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it tells you here that he that came back as the Holy Ghost ordained these certain people unto ministries. And they are to minister according to the gift of grace. See? The measure of the gift of Christ, according to grace. Okay, keep that in mind. And we go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and Paul is speaking here to the church which was not listening to him as the complete voice of authority. So he rules out the people instantly who will not take him as their authority. The women were blabbing in church and the men carrying on. And in verse 36, Paul said, "What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Now if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord," based upon Galatians when he said the revelation he received was not of man nor of himself, but of God. And in Romans he specifically stated he was vindicated, as all prophets must be. Now notice, in Romans the 12th chapter, it says, verse 3, "For I say unto you, through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Sorry, this is the same thing he's talking about in Ephesians. So who's he talking to? He's talking to a fivefold ministry, of which he mentioned in 1 Corinthians prophets. So there evidently are prophets that are subject to this man, Paul. And everybody in the fivefold ministry is subject to this man, Paul, who is a word prophet, which is God to the people. Now he says, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another. We all make one composite body, and yet we all are dependent upon each other. And having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And ministering, waiting on your ministry, according to the proportion of faith, for he that teacheth." So therefore the fivefold ministry and every single member of the body of Christ actually has a ministry according to your measure of faith. And when you step out of the ministry that God gave you, because you think you've got a different faith from what you got, and you don't have a measure of faith for that particular gift, like in Pentecost, they try to prophesy. Now, anybody can have a measure of gift for tongues, because you just rattle it off. Nobody knows what you're saying. But you dare to believe that you can interpret, and you don't have that measure of faith, you fell flat on your face. And when you prophesy, you'll fall flat on your face. And that is why Pentecost and these people are so led astray with false prophecies and gunk and gugok, because they don't have the measure of faith. So if you can only lift 10 pounds, don't try to lift 20. See what I'm saying? Now we're talking about ministry. Brother Branham had a ministry. He said, what was the ministry? The ministry is according to his proportion. And his proportion of faith is such that he has the ability to stand before God and literally receive from God not something which he wants to operate like these other ministries, but actually God speaking to him lip to ear, as in the case of Moses and the Apostle Paul. So now then, Brother Branham said, as John the Baptist foreran, so your message. So therefore, the ministry of Brother Branham is a message, and the message is a ministry, because it all devolves into ministry. Because there's one body. Right? So all right, how are you going to change it? You can't change it. So the question is asked of you, what is Brother Branham's message? It is a ministry. What is his ministry? My ministry is to declare that he is here. Now that's the thing in a nutshell. What is he here for? He said, "The Lord Jesus, Elijah, this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not a man, God, but it comes by a prophet." So therefore he tells you distinctly when he said, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven," that is God, Elohim, call him what you want, El Elah, Jehovah, God himself, came down, period. And he gives his message to Brother Branham because God cannot speak to a congregation. He is the head of it. But he's delegated absolutely that he has a head to that church in the form of a man. And that prophet of the hour, the one that brings the word, is God to the people. So therefore, you understand when we speak of the presence of God, which in the Greek we use the word proush. You throw the word proush in the gutter. Who cares? Doesn't matter to me one little bit. We're not arguing a word. We're talking about what actually has transpired in our day, that God himself came down in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire to do exactly what he did when he was here in the form of flesh, proving he's risen from the dead. He's here to bring the message of correction. He's here to raise the dead. He's here to take us up to the wedding supper when that same Spirit becomes incarnate to us. Now, as I said last night, I'm thoroughly convinced that most people who fight us actually believe the same thing as far as the presence, but they haven't asked the question, what is he here for? Who is here and what's he doing? Yet Brother Branham categorically said, you've got to understand the role that God has arrogated to himself at that time, and don't major in a minor. Not only that, but he categorically said, if you don't understand and give back to God the three titles and know where you stand, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, he said, God doesn't receive it. Now, the trouble with these preachers are they don't know what Brother Branham said. All they know is, like the rest of the guys, when the Church Age book was written, Becky was one of them, Collins another, they knew the book was wrong. The book wasn't wrong. And it isn't wrong. They just took everything Brother Branham said and interpreted it according to their thinking. Now, if you've been taught that two and two are three, and you really believe that, there's no way you'll ever know that two and two are four. Well, that's the trouble with these Branhamites. They refuse to believe. I sat with the man hour after hour to get some of these things ironed out. And let me tell you, unless you get rid of your old thinking, you'll get nowhere. You'll be like the charismatic Catholics, like Father Bertolucci. He can reel off the titles of Jesus, and he can glorify them like I can't even begin to. When it comes to being a sublime orator and bringing up the spirits of men. Oh, I used to do it years ago. I got rid of that stuff. And yet he tells you flat, the Pope is the universal pastor. He will talk about the Virgin Mary and speak in tongues and glorify Pentecost. And Pentecost is chaff that burns. He said, Brother Bale, don't Brother Bale me. Here's the Bible. Come up here beside me. And this goes for anybody hears the tapes. I'll pay your way here to debate with me. Let me tell you one thing. If you lose, and you will, don't worry. I'm not a guy to give a bluff. Not know I can back it up. You'll pay me back. I don't pay anybody anything. Give my hard-earned money for some poppycock somebody wants to preach. Okay. Now this is the word of Almighty God, and I trace back everything that Brother Branham said right to this word so we know where we stand 100% correct. Because what did the seventh seal do? The seventh in particular corrected the errors. What errors? Not in here, but what people took from here and taught wrong. When you correct the errors, you've got a perfect gospel. This is why I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. He went behind the curtain of time. What did you learn behind the curtain of time? Paul's gospel. They were depending on it. So I'm depending on Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, God, why don't you get out of here before I get sick and vomit on you? You see why I get so agitated, upset of all this junk that goes on? Just blabbing at the mouth, blabbing at the mouth. Not knowing they stand before the white throne. Not knowing the things that Brother Branham said. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. The judge is here, period. The Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is standing at the door? James said, behold, the judge stands at the door. Who's standing at the door knocking? The judge. You know what scares the pants off of people? A cop in a patrol car coming up behind you and then standing before a judge. What about that? There's nothing, that's nothing. That picture's nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, that's nothing, nothing, nothing. I got news for you. The cop caught you, and you've already been sentenced by the judge because Brother Brandt said, I indict this generation. I don't pray for America anymore, and it's all over. Time and eternity have blended. The seventh seal is a Roman candle going plumb into eternity. And I showed you last night, as I showed you the time before, that this sanctification goes on, and it started in our minds right now, where the minds are being renewed, where the eternal glories of Almighty God are consistently given to us. Eternity. There's an element in the human, brother, sister, that God never ever lets go. Otherwise, why are those leaves for the healing of the nations? And Brother Branham, they said they keep peace. In other words, without the control of Almighty God, there is an element we don't understand, but it is there just the same, where man could go haywire overnight, even in the presence of God. That's not true, then why is it said in the Bible? You can tell me. So you say, Brother Bale, I'm this, I'm that. No, listen, you get down where God said you are, which is a fallible creature, even though you're sons of God. And God himself has made sure the complete provision, and he himself adjudicating and executing his gifts, his sovereign grace and his care, he himself doing it. Man doesn't want to believe that. Man always wants to put something into it. And when he puts something, he stands back and he says, look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm looking at you. Oh, God. May the Lord strike me blind. But I should see, and you the same with me. See, that little bit of pride in there that the devil had, that arrogance. But a true spirit of humility bypasses that all and sees God in his perfections and sees at the end time where Jesus said, you'll know in that time the Father and you and me and I and you. Where he said at the end time you'll come to the place where you know you always were saved. He said you were tricked into it. He explained thoroughly how it was, Irenaeus having known it previously, how that God's attributes could only come forth under certain conditions. Brother Brown explained that to the very end, where this critic in Europe said God like a big fat Buddha with his hands folded across his belly, watching the great purge by the Catholic Church when women were ripped up. The same spirit that crucified Jesus Christ, a religious spirit, all the way down doing the same thing. Now he said, how could God be a God of love and do this and do that? And Brother Branham said, because he didn't have understanding. And he wouldn't listen. No, man always wants to put something into it to aggrandize himself. Then at the same time, he comes up with this false humility. He can't accept what God said about him being seen. Can't accept these things, you see? You understand what I'm saying? Man's just like this, a box of matches or toothpicks thrown on the floor. And the whirlwind is, come in. Whip them all up. Our God is a rock. We're built upon a solid rock. We're children of the rock. Like he said to Peter, this is the rock and you're a little part of it. And Brother Branham said, this is the revelation, you're a part of it. He said, he's the word and you're a little word, you're a part of it. Like he said, you're a part of your mother and your mother's a part of your father and you're all word. many people don't understand. So that's what you look at when you talk about the presence. I believe the majority absolutely cannot for 1 minute deny the fact of who came down, but they don't have a clue from that part on. Now some do, but the most don't. So I believe in the presence. It's a doctrine. Have they ever talked about the judge? And if you miss the judge, you miss the salient characteristic. Because that's the very thing that Brother Branham brought out in the church ages, that God put the pillar of fire in the wall and drew it all out and showed him as the judge. And he came right back in March of 63, and he preached judge. Absolutely. The judge at the door. What's he doing? The fan is in his hand, thoroughly purging the floor, gathering wheat in the garner. Notice he purges the floor. What is the floor? The floor is your foundation you're standing on. What was the original foundation of the Gentile church? Christ, the chief cornerstone, brought the revelation. Paul himself said, I learned it by Jesus. God himself came down and taught me. It's his gospel. Then he had the nerve to say, by my gospel. God identifying himself in his own word with a man. And then people come along and say, well, that couldn't happen to William Branham. What are you looking for? I'll tell you what they're looking for. They're looking for their own sign. And God said, no sign is given this wicked generation and the adulterers. And the same thing repeats again for the Gentiles, except the sign of the prophet Jonas. And Jonah went to the Gentile. He didn't go to the Jews. He went to the Gentiles. Now what happens at the end time? God comes to the Gentiles, signifying the resurrection. Throws them back in the homeland. What does that mean? But life from the dead. The Jews aren't dead, they're blind. So what's he talking about? Life from the dead. The resurrection sets in when they're in Palestine. And Brother Brown said, he said, I don't care who put them there. Zionists put them there. But he said, God was behind it. Just exactly like the Bible said. Christ was predestinated to die. But he said, you by wicked hands have done it. People never get the scripture lined up. So anyway, that's about the presence. I'm not going to take this morning on it because that's enough time. Just there's thousands of thoughts you can bring out. Everyone's hearing in from this right to the scripture that Brother Branham brought us. Now the brother asked the question, for they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them. Now that rock was the Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, exactly right. The passage relates to Exodus 17 and 6 and Numbers 20 and 11. Right. What exactly does it really mean? A spiritual rock that followed him. Is it a question of a real natural rock which followed the Israelites? Or is it a spiritual rock? For natural water actually came out of this rock in profusion, and the people and the cattle could drink. Well, let's be honest. It positively could be a rock that God moved from here to there, because God can do anything he wants. But remember, there's a picture taken of Brother Branham with Joseph. And in this picture, you'll see the light was caught by the camera and shows exactly in color what that light was. And Brother Branham said, we stood upon the same rock that Moses stood on, Israel, the time of Israel. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that that rock was not transferred from Palestine over to Arizona. The rock was significant of the fact of the presence of Almighty God. And that's exactly what it says in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And if you read it and take the entire context, you're going to be surprised at what you come up with. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all me eat of the same spiritual meat? Did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now they literally drank water out of the rock. But he also talks of spiritual meat. What was the spiritual meat? Manna. angel's food, created by God, that tasted like coriander, came down upon the grass in the morning like dew. Now watch. In spite of the fact that they were baptized in the water unto Moses, and they were literally hovered by the cloud, which literally contained God Himself, that was doing all these miracles and all these wonders. So there was no way that they could possibly disavow the presence and goodness of Almighty God, because they were right in the midst of it. And it was manifested that it was God, spiritual, by the fact of the physical. Right? Yes, it was. Alright, now watch. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, in spite of all that. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, they converted the power and glory of God, which was intrinsically in Him and being manifested. They took it and made merchandise of it, directing it how they wanted it to be directed. Understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to choose my words very carefully so there's no problem. They're on a tape. Now, right in the presence of God, having been led out, going to the promised land, they positively, actually, while saying they were the friends of God, the believers in God, receivers from God, which they received much, they were the enemies and unbelievers. For it said, neither be you idolaters, as some of them. As it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, some of them murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all of these happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. What is He telling you? He is telling you absolutely flat that these are all types of the end time. And when it comes our turn to get out of here, don't make the same mistake. Okay. Wherefore let him that thinketh take heed lest, no, thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. See, they were using God. There hath no temptation testing taken you which common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above you what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is you can positively be right in the midst of the goodness and glory of God and not mess up, though every single thing there will challenge you to mess up. You follow me? That's what it says. All right, keep your finger there and we'll turn to book of Hebrews. Chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Unto perfection, not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works and the faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and resurrection dead, and of eternal judgment. This will do if God permit. He didn't permit at that time, but He's got to permit it. It's got to come sometime. In other words, every single one of these things is up for re-examination. It's up for rejection until re-examination. It's all here, but it's all gone down the tubes by the time it gets to us, because it's full of error. Now, God didn't permit at that time, but He's got to permit sometime. Notice, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened, having tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God, even the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, they can never be renewed to repent, seeing at that time they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. Now you tell me that, and you show me there's a difference between the baptism unto Moses and the cloud that hovered them. They partook of every single thing that it says we partake of the last day, and they fell, and it warns us, don't you fall. See? Now, they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh, put in an open shame. For the earth which drinketh forth the rain that come off upon it, bringeth forth earth meat to them by whom is dressed, receive blessing of God. But that which beareth thorns and briars rejected, and nigh unto cursing whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. In other words, there's a mixed multitude at the end time, the same as there was at the first time. And a part of the mixed multitude will crucify the Son of God afresh. Because remember, it is the Son of God. And the Son of God is God in the form of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham brought that out of first chapter of Romans. About verse 4, somewhere in there. Son of God according to the Spirit of the resurrection. The one that came back. All right, they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. When? During the days of the Son of Man, when God comes down here in the form of a pillar of fire through a prophet and sees these mighty works. These mighty works are done. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. And 15, Paul says here, yea, we also have found fault witness of God. Because we testify to God that He raised up Christ when He raised Him up, if it's told me that the dead are not raised. Now, it tells you right there, if you are off on the doctrine, you become a false witness to Christ. In other words, when Paul talks about a resurrection that was manifested, a manifestation that came, and they took a manifestation in a wrong direction, they are a false witness. So, let's get this plan. When Moses came on the scene, see, with the revelation of Almighty God, which we'll talk about, the people took it wrong and went in the wrong direction, some into pure lust and others into idolatry. You hear what I said? When the prophet of God came, as Brother Branham said, when God went down to Egypt with Moses. And there he manifested himself not only in signs and wonders, but he himself appeared in the pillar of fire, and so today. What did they do with the manifestation? It was taken up, first of all, by Pastor Pharaoh as a cheap magician trick. Then Israel turned and showed what was in their hearts because they got right away from a true doctrine into lust. A wrong doctrine, and it manifested in sexual misbehavior. Then it went into idolatry. When Daniel came forth in his day in a mighty figure in Babylon, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He raised the statue of a holy man that he said, you better worship it. Everybody thinks the statue was Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Brother Branham said it was a holy man. The only holy man I know was Daniel. And Daniel's ministry actually led them into idolatry. Now that's going to startle most of you because you didn't believe that was possible. I'm showing you here that the devil's right alongside of Jesus Christ every day of the week, and the son of perdition is here in the same way that the son of righteousness is, the son of man. And they both get perfectly incarnated at the end time. Only our incarnation comes with the son of man, which is that spirit here in the midst doing the same works, becomes incarnate in the body, which is up there in the midair, up there in the heavens. Space, call it what you want it. By dimension. So, all right. These people are positively false to the revelation. Then what is that spiritual rock that followed? Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And from there you go, Christ revealed in His own work. So there you see God perfectly revealed in the days of Moses. And 100% according to the Word. And a mixed multitude came out. And some went on with God, and some went plumb out of the universe, and they're made for the burning. Now listen to me. The burning can only be at the end time according to Malachi 4. Leaving root in their branch. That's the time of the Laodicean church. Revelation 3:14-23. And they're burnt. And no bride gets burnt. And the foolish virgin doesn't get burnt. She gets massacred. Six billion people go up in smoke. Cannon fodder. Natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. That's the Bible. I don't care anybody preaches. Father Bertolucci and his good friend Dima Shakarian. Who cares what they preach? I'm not interested. Not interested. Got a vindicated prophet. So what is this rock that followed? God revealed spiritually. But because people have only five senses, He must now manifest Himself in the realm of the sensate. That's why concerning Zoe, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Paul tells you 100% that man by creation knows there is a God, period. And the man that says there's no God is a fool. Wipe him out. He's not even smart enough to be a fool. He's a hybrided, you know, mule. Child of perdition. Even Judas knew there was a God and recognized the Son, God in that Son. So here's what you see as far as I understand what Brother Branham talked about. Now, it is true. There is water that came out of the rock. Let's go to John 7. Brother Branham spoke of Christ being the rock smitten. And He smitten the second time, and though it poured forth water, see, it was not to be that way. Should have been. Verses John 7:37-39, on the last day, the great day of the feast, that would be tabernacles, wouldn't it? Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, not believeth on me, but as the Scripture has said, a revelation now, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, my brother and my sister, Jesus Christ was glorified, taken at the right hand of the Father. That was not His epiphania. The epiphania is in this hour. When the prophet could say he had more success in my life and his ministry he had in his own. When the Scripture distinctly says, he that believeth, greater works shall he do than these. That happened. Now then, if they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, which is taking this word and blaspheming and so on, they take the manifestation, run in the wrong direction, make merchandise with it and of the people, and they've done it. Then they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, and what pours forth this time? It didn't pour forth when Jesus rose. He only brought the dead out of the graves with Him. But this time He doesn't even go down to the grave.
God stands right here, and by His voice the dead are raised, and something happens that never happened in history before and can only happen this one time. And that is when the people standing right here go right to the tree of life and never miss one heartbeat, one eye wink. They don't die. They don't slumber. They become absolutely immortal, changed in every fiber, the same as those that come out of the ground. God doing that miracle. So what we're talking about then, my brother, sister, is a greater manifestation of the Holy Ghost and a greater power of the Holy Ghost than people have ever believed. And it's over in Ephesians, the first chapter, and it says in verse 16, verse 17, that I cease not to mention praying for you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation of knowledge of Him. Now, when he says the Father of glory, he tells you that God is the only person that can give a perfect assessment. When God says black is black, black is black. And if we made a mistake and we thought that red was green, God comes down and He changes and said, it's not what you thought, it's what it is. That's what it is. When a vindicated prophet comes on the scene and said, you misread this scripture and you misinterpreted it, then that's exactly what it is. Hey, if God doesn't know His own word, who does? If God doesn't interpret His own word, who can or who will? Oh, lots of people will. They think they can. But it tells you, the Father of glory, the author of all assessment. The assessment said Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Thou hast done well. If thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? Brother Branham came on the scene and taught us the truth of righteousness and unrighteousness and showed us there is only one sin, that is unbelief. The others are attributes. Do you think people believe that? Not for one whisker. That's spelled W-H-I-S-K-E-R. The reason I said that, the brother is French. He might have thought I said whisper or something else, one whisker. How thick is a whisker? Well, maybe more than a razor blade edge, but it's pretty close. Now, here's what that Spirit is going to do. Give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, what is it? The wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him that you already have. So this is corrective. And deeper. And ultimate. Now watch where the proof lies as we read a little further. But get this also. Herein that you may know the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that's His assessment. And that's the same thing we read over here. Just keep your fingers there. In 2 Thessalonians, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So Paul tells you right here, the same Holy Spirit that brought Him the Word is going to come back and reveal the Word. And in it give a greater revelation than was ever given before. Now stop that the revelation wasn't there. It's the in-depth of it. That's why Brother Branham said, we are resurrection. Oh, brother, sister, listen to me. Don't you understand what I'm saying? It's the little things Brother Branham said that count, not these great big things out there. Oh, we're going to come back and renovate the world. Oh, we're going to find the vitamins in the Dead Sea and live forever. Oh, we're going to... Oh, shut up. You're going to burn. So, Brother Vail, now listen, don't Brother Vail me. Remember, when Joshua stood beside Achan, the one that stole the Babylonians' gold and silver, he said to him, my son, confess and give God the glory. And he said, I did it. And they took the whole family out there and killed the whole bunch of them. Follow what I'm saying? They'll burn. I got nothing to do with it. I'm not burning anybody. But if I don't stand here and tell you the truth, God's going to be on my back. I'll have to answer for you. Not that I can stand in your shoes, but I'll answer having taught you wrong. And what the riches and his inheritance and the glory, riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That tells you exactly why you're born a sinner, why you're born sick, why you're this, why you're that. And Brother Branham came on the scene and he explained it, and I've warned you and told you, you can have a revelation, a true revelation of knowledge that'll dry you up and dry your skin on your bones and you'll blow away unless it's spiritual. To my God, it's all cut and dry. Paul knew that when he preached in the book of Romans. He said, before the children are born, not having done good or evil, God said, I love this one and hate that one. And the man comes and says, why don't you yet find both? Fat! Who are you, old man, to reply against God and his counsels? Can the thing form fit him before? Why hast thou made me thus? How many times have we said that? Brother Branham comes on the scene and gives us the actual cut and dried truth. And can't take it. You know why? Nothing in there to receive it. Little cups with great big ears. A lady preacher I knew years ago, I loved her. We didn't know any better, but I still would love her. Her husband told how that when he was born as a baby, you could put his head in a little teacup. And his daughter said, yes, and another cup for your two ears, because he had ears like this. I think a lot of people don't have much to receive it. Too bad. Now listen. When this revelation breaks concerning him and his infinite plan, from before the foundation of the world, revealed now under the seventh seal, we have the perfect revelation, and it says then what happens? The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Right at this moment. According to his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and changed every member of his body to immortality. And raised him to his own right hand above everything. That's the dividend of the shout. Brother Branham said, God reveals his own word by manifesting it. So you see, who was that spiritual rock? They got the water out of it. Christ. Wounded, bleeding, his life coming back on us to release what? The very life of the Word which is delineated in the Scripture and only guessed at as to its reality until it is truly exposed to us by God himself through the means that he's indicated. And the horrible thing of it all is that way back on the time of Israel, they said, let us not hear from God individually. Let us not see him again. No, no, no. Moses, you go and we'll listen. And then they turned right around and didn't listen. When you make a contract, my brother, my sister, and God validates it, you better keep it. But if you made a contract which God has not validated, you better watch it. Because you're nothing but presumptuous. Prophet taught me that one. It's not on a tape, but he named the person's name and everything else with it. Which he wrought in Christ, far above all principality, might, dominion, and every name that's named on this world but the world to come. In other words, you make this portion right here where the Spirit of God is, you have got it made, period. And don't you dare tell me that time and eternity have not mingled, because it has. That's the thing this fella doesn't understand in Wisconsin. Quote, quote, quote. No understanding. Quote, quote, quote. I'll write it down. I'll put an envelope. When it comes to pass, I'll pull the envelope out and I'll tell you a certain church that went to homosexuality. John, you're hitting it in, I'm not at all. You think they wouldn't under this message? You're cracked in the head. You think they won't? What makes you think some aren't doing it now? Why do you think Brother Branham screamed out how men treat their wives? So the question asked this to me, was Brother Branham suggesting that men no longer have intercourse with their wives? She said, by no means no, but Sister Vale, you ought to hear some of the horrible things those men subject their wives to sexually. If you're one of the guilty ones, you better repent and get your life changed around now, because you ain't making nothing. Because that's the type of idolatry, being off the Word. Now, if you're hit this morning, you had to come at you. Fantasizing men and all that crap. The world taught you wrong and the church taught you wrong. We better get back to the truth. Yeah. All right. All through the Bible is spoken of God is our rock. What was a rock? Like a fortress. The Lord's a rock, a high tower, we run into it. It's a place of shade. Signifies longevity, durability. Signifies unchanging. Signifies it's there when you want it. But the following lets you know you ain't going to get away from the Good Shepherd. Because he followed us right down to the pit to get us back. And he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. You won't get away. You know, I believe I understand here this is a spiritual thing entirely. All right, four, concerning Matthew 24, 34 to 35. The establishment of Israel equal 1948 plus a generation of 40 years makes it 1988. According to what was said by Brother Branham in the message titled 70 Weeks of Daniel, August 5th, 61, the year 33 plus 1954 makes 1987. It does. 1954 is the same period of time granted by God to the Jews from Abraham till the year 33. Very good. But we are in 1991, 92 at this time. What do you think of this? The delay in the fulfillment of the word. Besides, the prophet said that we are 7 years behind the time. So we should normally be in 1998. All right. When Brother Branham said that, I do not recall that it was emphasized to the point that this must be something actually literal. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis before we make any conclusions, though we might not even make a conclusion, but an observation. Let's make an observation. All right. In Genesis 15, 5 to 16, he brought Abraham forth and said, look now toward the heavens and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. What? His seed was going to be like that. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the earth of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said, Take me and Heifer 3 year old, and she goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took them all of these, divided them in the midst, and laid each piece upon it once against another. The birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said, God said, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And thou also that nation also that they shall serve what I judge, and afterward they'll come out with good great substance. And thou shalt go into thy fathers in peace, to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now what I'm driving at there is the fact of this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. The word generation which this brother puts here is 40 years. Generation comes from the same word root. Root word. That's a spoonerism. Root word. Generation and generics come from the root word genus, which is a production or a species of a kind. So you get the generic prescription. Means it's made of certain things and doesn't have a name label on it. So you got to pay $20 just for the name Johnson & Johnson, whereas you get down the road, there's no name on it. It's the same thing. The generic. Now, this generation shall not pass away. I would suggest you got to be very careful, because the word generation means this kind of people. What kind of people? The Laodicean, Nicolaitan, sexual, malfunction, malformed, Satan seed pervert, homosexual, are here to be burned. Did you notice? Did this scripture says 400 years they'll be down there? And he said fourth generation. So generation at that time was 100 years, right? Now, Brother Branham, when he preached, and remember, this is 1961, but in 1963, Brother Branham said, he said, when will it happen? 25? 50? 100 years from now? Maybe yet tomorrow. This kind of people could last up to 100 years. I don't believe they will, because God's going to step in and annihilate them. The same as he destroyed Egypt. He will destroy Babylon also. So when this is mentioned here, 1954, and we had 33 years, and the brother's right, that Brother Branham said we're 7 years out. We come up to 1998. But Brother Branham has never been a man to set dates. But he used approximations. And I would say this concerning these figures, that I know of no scripture, and I know of no scripture that Brother Branham quoted or said, thus saith the Lord, that it would be that specified time, but he brought it to our attention. I could be wrong. I'm not saying that I know, but I have no trouble with this. Because from what I said, you can see that's the way I see it. Let's go to Genesis, the 17th chapter. Verses 1 to 8. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before him, be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and multiply thee exceedingly. Now this is a repetition. It's exactly as it is today. Paul brought the original, now we got to repeat. This is Genesis 15 over again. This is Paul over again in our day. Abram fell upon his face, and God taught me, saying, ask for me, behold, my covenant with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for I have a father of many nations I have made thee. And I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I'll establish my covenant between thee and thy seed, and thy, after thee and their generation, for everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land where thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. Now you notice in there, they were down in Egypt, he brings them out. And there's a time in between there, the 400 years, that he's going to bring them in, and the cup of iniquity of the Canaanites will be fulfilled, or be filled up. So I'm looking at this here, as Brother Branham said, quoting Irenaeus, but going a step further, the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and he's speaking, I believe, of the physical return where we meet him in the air, the second coming, when the last elected child is brought in and child trained. Brother Branham added the child training, but Irenaeus only brought it to the point of the last elected one. So, taking Brother Branham's figure, and looking at it from the standpoint of what has happened so far. Let's put it this way. 1998, 6 years to go. Can the world conditions stand 6 more years? The answer, of course it can. But then again, according to God, it might not. With the Gorbachev eliminated, Bush going down the tube, Perot could take over quite easily. Who knows? I don't know. I still think that Bush will get back in. But it's going to be peace. Maybe the way Kennedy got into Chicago. I don't know what's going to happen. Crooks are crooks. And politicians can't make correct decisions. No matter what you look at, Pro couldn't do it either. Because it's too late. But this could be fulfilled by 1998. I don't know. I don't know. But let's face it. The handwriting is on the wall. The unknown tongues under the seals have been interpreted. How far do we have to go? From 1965. We are already now 37 complete years. Unless I can't add right. 63, isn't it? Alright. And we're going to 92, 29 years. Almost 30 solid years. I don't know. We can't have too much time to go. Number 5, the 5th question. Brother Branham declared, the works that you have temporarily seen will be manifested in all their fullness. Now, he made also another statement. He said, what you've seen here, talking the mighty things that happen, quoting outside the congregation's vision, Luke King you healed, and the cancer falling off a man's face and things like that. He intimated to us. He didn't just intimate. He made a statement. Take it how you want it. I don't know. That this was literally good, but not what you'd see when the squeeze comes down relative to the third pull. Now, the third pull is the most peculiar thing in that Brother Branham gave the definitive, and I mean definitive, revelation of the third pull by the vision of little birds, bigger birds like doves, and then angels, embodiments of the Holy Ghost, coming down by Jesus himself, masked by those angels, the judge, to give the true revelation of the Word of God. So, even though the third pull definitely has the element of the tremendous supernatural, the same prophet said the last time the church has seen and will see is God's back to the tent while he reveals what's in Sarah's heart, the bride, just before the coming judgment and the Son, promised Son, manifest in flesh. So you could go many ways on this. I'm content to just stand back and watch. I don't have the answers. I'm not going to rush into anything, except I know one thing. According to the definitive, the Word was what it was all about. The sword of the King. That which is perfect is come. And I would just stay with this message. And whatever comes out of it by God's solemn judgments, it will not be because Lee Vale or you or anybody else wants a great ministry. It will be because God simply gives it to you according to how he places everyone in the body. So, I would just sit back and be content. That's all I would do. That takes care of those questions. We have more questions. The question is concerning, I won't read it all, the question is concerning what Paul said, people drinking unworthily. Concerning the taking of the Lord's Supper, which was taken incorrectly, on the ground, that everybody brought all what they had together, what was called the love feast. Because remember, Jesus ate with his disciples. Now, those that had plenty of money brought the most lavish dishes, no doubt with servants, and had a great fandango going on. The poor folk, some didn't even have any food to bring. So whether they were allowed to sit down and eat and take the crumbs like the dogs, I don't know. But I know that Paul said the manner in which they took it was an abomination to God, entirely out of order. And then he went on to explain what the Lord's Supper, the communion, was all about, which was a commemoration service unto him who was greatest of all, becoming servant of all, suffering and sacrifice and even dying for the good of others. Now, this man was God incarnate. Now, Brother Branham breaks this down to this extent. He talked about communion being fellowship and all that which it is. But the truth of the matter is that Brother Branham brought this down to where he said no one should really take the Lord's Supper unless he's full of the Holy Ghost, which he's born again. Now, what does that bring us to? It brings us to the fact that those people that are truly entitled to partake together in with these emblems, with each other, are truly born again. And if you're truly born again, you will believe the message or word of your hour, which is the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, you will notice the Corinthian church was rebuked because idolatry was already amongst them. They're the original Catholics, as far as I can figure out, alongside of those that were in Rome, that they brought paganism into it. Because their understanding was they couldn't even take the food, the meat, and the shambles, which meant it was offered a sacrifice unto God when there are no other gods. It wouldn't matter what it was offered unto. They were a weak, demoralized people. They backed themselves up by speaking in tongues, and even that was out of order. They had a young man having sexual intercourse with his stepmother. I'm sure it was his stepmother, unless it was incest, which I very much doubt. I mean, I would hope it wasn't. But then again, what do you know? People are people. The Bible said where there's no oxen, the crib is clean. In other words, where there's no cattle, there's no manure to shovel out of the barn. The bigger this church gets, the bigger the shovel we're going to need. Now, don't kid ourselves. Don't pretend we're, you know. You're made out of clay. And when clay gets an animation, my God, what it can do. Because the animation can be directed by the devil. So you see, this was a very poor example of a church. They brought in their own doctrine. They'd gone into schisms. But listen, nobody kicked them out. Just examine yourself to see where you stand. And you don't stand anywhere unless you're full of the Holy Ghost, which is evidenced by your understanding and receiving the word for the hour. That's where you start. Now, if somebody's got aught against you, it should be cleared up. If you've got against somebody, that should be cleared up. But that's not the main point here. The main point is who is entitled. Now, if there's something in your life and in my life and we take it, it's not going to affect anybody else. It's going to affect the person that takes it. Now, with that, there's a further penalty. And that penalty can go to the entire church because Brother Branham distinctly said that if one person in the church is wrong, it can affect people from getting healed. That happened in Christ's ministry. So the greatest thing in the world is to have the unifying effect of the Word of God, which can only be there on the grounds of a true baptism with the Holy Ghost in every single member. And oh God, where you're going to have that's more than I know. All I know is Brother Branham serving communion, stood right back. A woman come by with her hair cut and her, you know, her eyebrow shape, which I'm not against the shaped eyebrows. I don't think it's too good an idea, but she had them, and she had rouge on and things, and her skirts weren't exactly right, but she was a very lovely, gracious person. And I know other people came through committing adultery and fornication and other things because I happen to know. Hey, when you get close to the prophet, he names names. No big deal to me. It's just one time he said, Brother Ben, I'm naming this man's name. He said, not judging the man, but he said, as a friend, I'm warning you, don't get close to him. You know, you talk about things. Stand right there. They went through the line. That is, the person gets defected. See? That's between him and God. What he does won't affect you and me. But then, down the road, that continuing thing can affect the whole church. As Paul said, a little leaven leavens the whole bunch. And the little leaven at that time was not simply a person in fornication or adultery with his stepmother, whoever he's in adultery with. The big thing was that the factions and schisms within the church kept the church embroiled and divided so that people would take sides over anything. They turned to Brother Harold Marcon and said, whose side you're on? He said, I'm going to tell you something. You better be on Jesus' side and not a man's side. That settled the whole bunch right on down. He was an Italian, of course, that did. See, listen. Schisms will lead to sticking up for people just because it's your blood or your friend or something else. That's why when Paul said in the church you're judging wrong, bring in some poor geek that you think is a geek, a guy that doesn't seem to have anything and nobody really wants him, a poor guy, let him come in and he'll have the guts and the truth to tell you what's right. Listen to him. That's why it's the greatest danger in the world for any five-fold minister to have a family that he can't put on the altar. You can't lay him on the altar, you'll never make a five-fold minister. Because you get a family spirit in the church, and pretty soon you divide this way and that way. Under my ministry, there's never been a family church here, and there never will be. I put my family on the block many years ago. And I told my wife if I should ever do wrong and leave the things of God, she must leave me. And I'll tell you flat, and I'll back my words, I believe by the grace of God. If I turn on these things, I will divorce my wife for her own protection. Tell you what. Christians are a very special breed of people because their breeding is of God. They're the offspring of God. I hope that answers your question where you can put it into a spiritual context to get the help that I know you really wanted from your question. What do we got here? How much time we got? All right. Does God ever change His mind about His Word? You mentioned that New Jerusalem is the reason and purpose of God's being. Well, the Bible distinctly says, Brother Branham quoting Irenaeus, it's the truth, that God being a healer, God being a Savior, He must predestinate a man who requires salvation to give himself a reason and purpose of being. Now, Brother Branham said if He just lost a man in order to save him, that's ridiculous. It wouldn't be true. Now then, what is His great purpose in mind for you and me? New Jerusalem. And from that point on. So therefore, the ultimate of God that is manifested will be the reason and purpose of His being. It was all in Him. Now can you believe for 1 minute that God being a Father and able to do as a Father anything He wanted to do, that He wouldn't do the most propitious thing and most wonderful thing for His offspring. And the first picture you get of a consummation within what we're looking at as New Jerusalem. Man, it must be fantastic as God just poured himself out for his own. That's your answer. Okay, one last question. In view of the squeezehead, we have mixed feelings on whether or not to have children. The desire is present, but anticipating the life awaiting future children, it does look bleak for them and to us as parents. Yet Brother Branham instructed us to keep going on. It's just the same, planting things, plowing and hammering nails. Marriage and birth is a part of our existence. What is your advice? We'd appreciate your thoughts on the matter. Well, I can't go beyond what the prophet said. We know positively that the Bible distinctly said, be fruitful and multiply. There are some people who simply cannot multiply. They have no ability to multiply. And also, there are the safe periods where intercourse is just the same as in animals, on the grounds that the male cannot mate with the female, except a very special period, which is by instinct, which does not depend upon anything but instinct. They don't reason, they're just there. Whereas in mankind, man can reason and he can indulge in pleasure, even as Sarah said, shall my husband and I have pleasure again like young people. And Brother Branham said that children are born by sexual desire. And anybody that says, well, I'm going to have a child, but there'll be no sexual desire, there's an idiot. You got to maybe get somebody else to have the desire and you go through a test tube or something. You know, you're just being nutty in a fruitcake when you bring that up. The fact of the matter is, look, I cannot tell you what you should do concerning your own understanding of childbearing. There are those who believe very firmly, and I do not disagree one minute with them, that to bring life into this world at this particular time is a very dangerous thing. At the same time, there is such a thing as predestination. And I doubt very much if anybody using the rules that are laid down, that Brother Branham laid down, which is natural birth control, which has to do with two things, temperature and also the fluids that are in the female in order to keep the sperm safe in order to reach the destination. I do not believe for one single solitary moment that if you're supposed to have a child, that you're going to be without one no matter what you practice. Unless you have your tubes tied, that goes for either the man or the woman. Tubal litigation, whatever. So what would you do? Well, I'll tell you. I'm an old man. I'm looking at children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. My own thoughts on the subject are, this is purely personal, unless I wanted, above all else, and it made a problem in the family not to have children, if it really meant that much to either one, myself, I would simply use the methods that God has allowed us as human beings. But there are people who cannot be without children. And if a woman is particularly that way, and she married with that understanding, I believe she should have children. Brother Branham categorically said a woman cannot refrain from bearing children for her husband because the woman was given an order to reproduce himself. To me, like I'm kind of hedging around the question, but the fact of the matter is, I've told you. The best I can is entirely up to you. If you do not use artificial means, that's what the prophet's against. I don't know that. Well, you're not entitled to use artificial means unless the woman's life is in danger. If the woman by childbirth, the doctor warns you could have a heart attack, there's only one thing you can do, you must refrain. And Brother Branham always said the woman should have her tubes tied. So therefore, under duress, which means a woman could die, no children, period, or no more. If you look at the future very bleak, you sure wouldn't be entitled to tie any cords in any tubes, I can tell you that. But if you felt that you ought to go this way, I don't see one thing against it because it's purely in nature. I don't see one thing about it against it. I can find even scripture to tell you right over here in the book of Corinthians, the woman is the weaker vessel. You've got to honor her at her certain times of the month, and you've got to honor her concerning sexual intercourse even without that certain time. The man also. You're looking at just not a matter of childbearing, though childbearing actually comes from the act. They're also looking at the act which is there, which is very dynamic in males and females, and particularly in the male. So, I couldn't tell any one of you what to do. I lay it out the best I can, you do. I know a certain woman went to Brother Branham, and she said, could I use a certain type of birth control? He said, no, you can't. He said, I know you've got problems, but they're not that bad. They're not a matter of life and death. I think that was pretty well the answer. As she was leaving the room, he said, come back. I want to tell you something. He just had a vision. He said, you go ahead and do what you're doing. He said, because your husband's a ministry, terribly nervous. You have 3 children now. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you those things. I'd have to pray about this in your particular condition because these are young people without a doubt. No name sign. Don't need any name. They're young people. Pray about it. Talk about it. And I know one thing, even though the future is bleak, there's nothing as marvelous as little babies if they can be properly taken care of, properly dedicated to God, properly reared. You've got a promise, no matter how bleak it is, you and your family. It's a very special promise in this hour. So I wouldn't just put it down as that. I'd have to examine about everything I can. You see, there I hedge. I've got to hedge because I am not a prophet. The answer would be, actually, if you want to know the plain, rugged truth, there is no such thing as sowing without reaping. And I don't believe that, except in the laws that God laid down in the human body and He backed up, is there any such thing as that type of sowing without a reaping. Brother Branham might tell you more, but all I can do is tell you what he said. If you're going to do anything about the keeping back of children, it must come under the laws of nature. And if it comes under the laws of nature, I don't see where there's any problem. It's up to you and each other what you want to do about it. Okay, time's up. Time to go home. Server, let's rise and be dismissed. Next Wednesday, 7:30. And I got my question answered. Well, I mean, I answered all the questions up here the best I could. Can't tell you any more than I told you. But I'm not a prophet, anyway, shape, and form. And whatever we go into next time, if there is a next time, I don't know, because it's getting pretty wearisome and burdensome. To the extent now, I don't sleep even at night hardly any position because of what the nervous condition that's paining me in my arms and all. And I do know that services are wonderful, but terribly stressful. So what the future holds, I don't know. I've told you that before, and I've done my best to hold off and see if something just might develop that would take care of the situation. Everything to this point is developing that has not taken care of the situation, but worsened. So I can't tell, except I know this one thing. There's simply that how far you can go on, God knows, I don't know. So it's in a rough pond, between a rock and a hard place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you today, knowing that all the answers I could not give. As though I could pinpoint them 100%. But Lord, looking at it, from what was said by the prophet, garnered from the word that he got it from, the revelation you gave him, his thoughts on the subjects. Done the best we could, Lord, to this particular point. Perhaps could do better later on, as you might show us more. Or even show us some things that were a little headed in the wrong direction, could be brought back to the right direction. And these other things pertaining to the physical, Lord, we know that there's only so far we can go, no further. There's laws laid down. There's this, there's that, Lord, that's right in our lives. And we know, Father, we can have your help and your guidance upon it all. Help us, Lord, to be true as children of God to what you want us to do. And not give way to anything that anybody else may want us to give way to by way of speculation, divisions, and those things which are intolerable in your sight that were called to task by the Apostle Paul, who spoke in your stead to the very people, Lord. We've heard that through Reverend William Branham, Brother Branham, prophet of God, who brought the same word revealed as was given to Paul by the same person. And yet, Lord, there's some things we don't know, And perhaps we may never know. But if there's some things we really need to know, I know you've got an answer for them somewhere, though at this point we might not have the true definitive. But we've always found, Lord, that somewhere the prophet said something that brought out the definitive, for which we're very grateful, though we don't find it right now. And do the best we can by being cautious, not to tip the scales one way or the other, but to stand steady until we see the true balance of the scales where it's really brought forth. In the balance of judgment of God, which is the vindicated word. Now, Lord, the people here need healing. I need healing myself. The prophet said the servant of God is entitled to a healthy body. But I also know the scripture telling us by reason of strength, there are problems that lie ahead. We've got to balance that out in the scripture. We know the prophet also said age doesn't mean you can't be healed. So, Father, we look to you this morning for those that are young and those that are older and those that are much older. We know there is help for our bodies. But there's only one reason for that. And that is not to have strength to please ourselves and do what you want to do, but be pleasing unto you, to go where you want us to go, to do what you want us to do, and say what you want us to say. Those things, Lord, we know are there. They're for all of us. Help us, therefore, Lord, whatever you do for us, and you've done much for us, and we believe you are doing and will continue to do much for us. In the realm of these things that lie in the physical, healing, and these other things, these ministrations.